Hello, and welcome back to ClearCast. We are very happy today to be joined by Maya Velasquez. She is the head of growth at a really cool company called Zavvi. Maya, welcome to the pod.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Now, we had to ask in advance if it was pronounced Xavier, Zuvi. We knew because we are aware of the company, but you get that question a lot of how do you pronounce this company name?
I do. And it's funny. I think every tech company by design has to have like these crazy letters and these crazy spellings. And so, yes, it's Zavvi, Zavvie. But we can go by Xavier or Zavi or whichever pronunciation suits your fancy.
For today, we'll stick with Zavvi, but for those
Perfect.
who can't tell from audio only, the Z is not capitalized. This is critical.
Which is another popular tech company item. Yeah.
I would just like to say that if you can't tell from audio and video, we have Jeff Allen at the helm this month here on our podcast, and he was not with me in the last recording. And so I would just like to say how lucky and fortunate I am to have Jeff as my co-host today to be able to do this. So,
Wow. Thanks
yeah.
for this today, Maya. We'll see you next time, everybody.
That was so heartfelt. I felt that.
It's to make up for all the other things that I'm going to say later.
Okay.
Noted.
Well, it's great to be back in the saddle with you as well. Now that we've gotten the two most important parts of the Zavvi story, so the pronunciation and the lowercase first letter, let's get into the less important stuff. Such as, please tell us about Zavvi. What is it that you do and what makes you special?
Yeah, absolutely. So Zavvi started out, 5, 6 years ago when iBuyers came onto the scene. We saw an opportunity to aggregate alternative financing solutions. And at that time, we created a platform where we were licensing it to real estate brokerages at that time, so the agents could really easily compare all of these new models of selling and buying homes and just make it easy and kind of discern for people which ones were gaining traction and what that looked like. So we had the platform, we outsourced to a bunch of different companies, Opendoor, Offerpad, Divvy, Landis, Knock, et cetera. All the different companies that you may have heard of who kind of have an alternative model to either help someone sell or buy a home more easily. And so we did that for a while, and in that really learned what solutions in that marketplace did well over the course of years, over the course of different markets. And so in 2022, when we had that lovely market shift that really rocked the industry, unfortunately, a lot of those solutions lost traction, lost funding. It's really hard for them to operate. And so we looked at, from our experience, what was still in consumer demand. And filled the gap with our own cash solution or power buyer solution that we now white label to mortgage companies. And we still have the marketplace where we compare everything. We just more license it to more often license it to mortgage companies and to help the loan officers now discern what options look like and help them give more liquidity to their clients.
So that's really cool. I mean, you had kind of a chance to watch and learn and measure what's actually, working, which I mean, that's most companies jumping to that space didn't have that opportunity. They kind of went in with what they thought was their play and kind of
Yeah.
go for it. But a lot of them aren't here anymore. So that's pretty cool that you had a chance to be in the front row
Yeah.
and then apply that to the business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, we're very unique in that vantage point, which has helped us build what I think is the best cash solution that exists right now. But also I think just I want to say too, it's unfortunate that all of those solutions are still not in play. And I hope that I think now that the capital markets are softening a bit and becoming more friendly, we can start to see more of those pop up. Have already started to see little hints of that. But I hope that we can, in a year or two, see a full marketplace again with a lot of those solutions. And we continue to, keep our finger on the pulse of what's happening in those markets. And I think we're, you know, like I said, a unique vantage point, one of the only folks doing that. And it's interesting, like you can get excited about the options, but you also have to be able to discern, are they making an impact? Are they making a difference? Am I, you know, at a mortgage company or as an agent, do I need to know about this one? And so I hope that we can help people discern and choose which ones are viable and which ones are going to be, you know, the most useful in the market.
So tell us more about your journey. How did you end up at Zavvy?
Yeah, great question. So I, previous to Zavvy, I was doing kind of a similar role, a leading business development and strategy for a tech company in the senior living space. And so kind of real estate adjacent. And I knew when I left that, I was really interested in getting into residential real estate. So I found Zavvy in 2020, COVID times, like very beginning of COVID, and just kind of reached out to the co-founders. I saw what they were doing, looked super interesting in my residential real estate interest and research at that point, and kind of let them know my skill set, asked if they were looking for someone to head sales and marketing. And we did a really awkward 6 foot apart with masks on Zoom interview in Boulder. And yeah, they hired me on. So it was really fun, total startup. There were only, I think there were less than 10 of us at that point. So super fun, and can't believe it's already been so long.
Wow. So, you know, your head of growth, and I feel like that's kind of like this emerging title in a way, like, you know, it can mean a lot of different things. So give us a sense of what your life looks like is growth. What do you focus on, and what does that mean to you?
Yeah, great question. Absolutely. So kind of two parts here. One is strategically positioning the business. And so, you know, what our value proposition is to mortgage companies and to our potential partners, and helping them also strategically reach out to their clientele and helping them shape the message they're using with our product. And the other piece is enterprise partnerships with our mortgage company. So I run that as well as the sales team. So I think those are kind of the two portions of what I do. As far as what I actually do on a daily basis, working for a startup, wearing many hats, we all are. It's something I love about the startup life and why I chose to do it again, is that I really like being able to have every day look a little bit different. But yeah, I really focus on our larger partnerships and then just our strategic positioning in the marketplace.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about the Zavvy Power Buyer product in specific. That's the white labeled solution that is primarily for mortgage companies, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So I think maybe it's important to define power buyer too. I think, you know, when iBuyers came out, there's like iBuyers and power buyers. And I think those can be conflated too. So when I think of a power buyer, I think of a company that is using cash to help a buyer be more competitive, more liquid, and non-contingent in the buying process, and also help buy before they sell sometimes. So kind of two buckets of what power buyer solutions tend to have. One is buy before sell, so allowing someone to buy their new home, typically with cash or non-contingent, before selling their old one. And the other bucket is purchasing with cash or something that looks like cash. And so, as I mentioned before, we had the opportunity to aggregate and work really closely with a lot of the power buyers in the space, kind of, I like to call it like the first wave pre-2022 market shift of those companies, and shape our product around, again, what we thought worked best. And we're close with those companies as well. Thank them for being great partners and for helping us shape our product. But the way that we structure ours is, it is, as you mentioned, it's white labeled. So you've probably started to see in the market mortgage companies coming out with some kind of value prop of cash. And so that becomes really tough when you're a lender or a mortgage company and using your own capital to purchase homes on behalf of people or help with that liquidity problem. Becomes kind of risky. A lot of boards don't like it, and it can be tough to use that capital for that purpose. So what we do is we allow any mortgage company to just stand up their own product that looks like XYZ mortgage company cash, or whatever you decide to call it. We're behind the scenes as an extension of the team running the operations, And making sure that the client experience is really good. I'd say that's probably the most important piece, is making the lender, the loan officer, look really good by just acting as an extension of their team, offering cash products so that the loan officers have something really great and sticky to go out to their consumers with. And from a strategic perspective too, the mortgage company gets to leverage that as a value prop to be able to get more loans in the door. If they end up using our cash products, great. We have a wide range of them, 6 different products in our product suite. We're pleased if they use them, but we're also really pleased if they just close a loan with one of our partners from the value prop of, you know, being able to buy with cash. Hmm.
So, you know, we're talking about innovation here and kind of a different approach to, you know, to working with sellers and buyers, and can't talk about innovation these days without mentioning AI. So, whether we want to or not, we have to talk about AI.
Right.
What are you guys doing, you know, in that space? Is AI part of the approach? Anything changed there recently?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you can be a tech company without having some kind of AI play out there. So yeah, absolutely. What I see, so what we're doing right now is we have a portal that loan officers log into to use the cash products and eventually other financing options that we deem necessary to add to the platform. But the AI is really big in our risk assessment tool. And when we think about, like we were talking about, a lot of those companies that lost funding or unfortunately had to close their doors during the market shift, a lot of that was, and even pre that, with some of the larger companies in iBuying, was they managed the risk profile ineffectively, inappropriately, that just the risk assessment was part of the problem. And so that's where we started with our AI, is AI, which, you know, AI is only as good as the business rules that you write, right? So I think our experience in the space has helped us write really great business rules to help assess risk on a client and their properties or property, depending on what product they're using. And so when loan officer uploads their findings, we pull certain criteria and red, yellow, green light it to either be good to go, or we need some more information, or it's a no based on the system. And I will say too, which I think this is extremely important, there's always a human element. And I think that real estate is unique in this of, I do not think, and actually Mike Delpretti, who's big in this space, talks about this a lot, but the consumer has said over and over again that they actually are not super keen on pressing a button and buying a home. And so I think we have to be careful in this industry how much we rely on AI. And there's a really important balance there, I think, between real human interaction, and of course, AI can make that more powerful. But we always have a person on our team talking through things with the loan officer, as well as the system generating some kind of answer. And I think that's really important in what gets dangerous specifically in this industry with AI.
So let's talk about the power buying space in general. As you've mentioned, back in the late 2010s, early 2020s, COVID times, that it was a really active space. There's a lot of companies trying to work on it. Now that's shifted a bit. So how have you seen the space evolve over your time at Zavvi? And what do you think is coming to power buying space in the future? What do the next couple of years look like?
Yeah, I like to think of it in two waves. So yeah, like you said, there's kind of like the COVID, I think started probably 2018, 2019, into the fall of 2022. And I think a lot of those companies were, one, I think it's really important to, I think the success of some of those companies was dependent on their knowledge of the real estate space. I think that's really important. And technology is awesome, but technologists and folks coming into the space without a lot of knowledge about the real estate industry and the process, I think can lead to downfall there. So I think the first wave was much less risk averse, I will say. And so I think the second wave that's coming up with, I think we're starting to see more of those companies take shape. And I'm actually excited to see competition out there, because it means we're doing something right. And ultimately we're helping the affordability problem that we're all trying to solve for. But I would say that's the biggest difference I've seen in the evolution of this space, is that For good reason, given the market shift and what happened to those companies, the power buying companies that are newer are looking at different ways of doing it that are less risky and I think potentially less effective when it comes to not deploying capital or trying not to deploy capital and just using, you know, other tactics that are smart and innovative. But I think we're probably one of the few that's still actually okay with exercising our capital to purchase homes on behalf of people. And I think it's really important to have options that don't do that and that are potentially, you know, less expensive for the consumer and just may not be as effective on the buy side.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I imagine the problems you're trying to solve today are pretty, maybe they're not completely different, but certain ones have grown and actually increased as a problem over time. And we still have issues with inventory and supply. We are, you know, rates are staying higher for longer. And there's just not as many transactions and volume out there for lenders to be profitable. So how does Zavvi help, you know, lenders, you know, offer more solutions to the market or be, you know, solve some of the affordability challenges for folks?
Yeah. I think there's two questions in there. So I'll start with what I think was the first, just talking about, you know, how do we help loan officers do more business, mortgage companies do more business? And I think there's kind of two parts to having a cash option or a power buyer option as a mortgage company. There's the value proposition that you get to go out with to the consumer and, you know, use it as a sales and marketing tool to get more people in the door. I think a lot of companies have that piece down. And so that's part of it, is that you have something that you're able to offer, even if you're hoping that you don't deploy the capital on it, but something that you can market to your consumers that says they can help them shop with something that's cash or as good as cash or just help be more competitive. And then there's the operational piece of it as well, right? If someone raises their hand, pushes the yes button on the cash option, can you execute? And I think that's where I see the gap in a lot of mortgage companies, and for good reason. Like I said, I don't think most mortgage companies should have their own cash product and take that risk, which is why we exist. But I think if you can do both, that's where it gets really interesting. And so consumers start to know that your loan officers start to get confident that, yes, we have this value proposition. We are selling this to our consumers. And if someone, you know, we're not just hoping that they take the bait and then close a normal loan, we can actually execute really well if they choose to use the cash. I think that gets really interesting. That's where we see our loan officers and mortgage companies really thriving, is having a really strong proposition to the consumer and then being able to deliver on it when necessary, which of course is not all the time. And then I think there's the other question of affordability. And when I look at what we are doing, I think there's something really interesting that I've been thinking about, is like the chain reaction of people buying and selling homes, right? And so a lot of what our most popular product is a cash buy before sell product. That means we're helping someone purchase a new home before they sell their old one. So we purchase their new home on their behalf, they sell their old home, and then they buy it back from us after they sell their old home. And so what that starts to do is, so, you know, someone, you know, John and Jane Smith are moving, they've had their house for a while, we're helping them get in their new house, I mean, we're freeing up that other house. That house might not be for a first-time home buyer, but freeing up that house then lets a first-time home buyer potentially in the door. And I saw, I think maybe a Housing Wire stat of first-time home buyers finally increasing for the first time in a long time, which is really exciting. But that is where I think this can be really effective in solving that problem, is there's a chain of events that happens. A lot of people they use our products are well-qualified buyers that are using the buy before sell product. And there's that chain reaction process that is really helpful, that I think is just freeing up more of that inventory as much as we can is really helpful, so that someone can enter the market and John and Jane can get out of their house that they've been in for 50 years and have lots of equity with. And then on the flip side, we also have products that are more suited for first-time home buyers that can help FHA buyers even be cash buyers for less money if they're not also selling a home.
Yeah, no matter how the market has shifted over the last couple of years, what has not shifted And what you guys are pointed towards is the affordability problem, right? And the challenges mm-hmm. that come with being a buyer who doesn't have a strong cash position. Like that's true now. It's going to be true for the years to come, it seems like.
So
as we think about the years to come, so to close us out in our time together today, tell us what's next for Zavi. What's on the roadmap?
Yeah, I'm really excited about the next version of our product. So we are releasing later this year a decision analysis engine that actually helps loan officers further up funnel start to put in information about their clients, and then it will tell them which solution, either of ours or new solutions that we'll be adding toward the end of the year, are a good fit for that client based on, you know, certain criteria, and trying to do that as far up the funnel as possible so that loan officers can start to think about these options to actually help get some people off the sidelines and buy some people that are in their pipeline, maybe just inputting some information, helping them through this decision engine and saying, hey, you know what, did you know about this cash option? We could help you, you know, be able to afford to buy a home in 4 years if you, you know, choose this homeownership accelerator option, which I think those guys are starting to make a comeback. So that is kind of next on our product horizon. And then I think we're just in a really good spot as far as the cash products that we have from, you know, the research that we've done. So I just look forward to, we just did our busiest month ever in May, and June is looking to top that. So I think the other piece of that is just helping more people get in homes and to be able to compete in this market.
That's awesome. I'm gonna make it rain here a little bit.